welcome to Blocked and Muted with Jim Suhan. I'm Jim Suhan. I'm here with our producer, Brandon Morton. We are talking on Friday before the Vikings play the Lions as the Gopher Bowl decision is coming down the pike. We're going to talk about the Wolves and the Wild as well. And then we're going to have a special guest on, Andrea Yock, old friend of mine, president and founder of Minnesota Women's Soccer. They're going to be attracting investors, naming a coach, naming the team here in short order. We're going to talk to her about all that stuff. It's really exciting to see her putting this together. It's very innovative and really cool. We're also talking a day after we did the John Krasinski Show live at Tuttle's and Hopkins. It was a blast. Thank you to everyone who came out, including Steve Terry, some of our Talk North people. Some people drove even down from St. John's to be at the show. That was a lot of fun. We're doing a lot of live shows these days. I'll tell you more about them later. But let's get to our topics, and then we'll handle the business later. Start us off, Brandon.
All right, Jim, let's start the two-minute drill off with no more crazy free agents.
My mind works in very strange ways, and I went down a very strange personal internal rabbit hole the other day. I was thinking about Herschel Walker and how off the rails he has gone. I always thought he was a strange dude, but I didn't really think he was like a domestic assaulter. He's been accused of domestic assault and all kinds of other now he's going into politics, which is rather frightening. And I started thinking about him. I thought, Brett Favre, they traded for Herschel Walker from another NFC team. And he came here and did nothing, and now he seems to be a horrible human being. Brett Favre got him from basically the Packers, even though he stopped at the Jets on his way here. And he's a guy who sent pictures of certain parts of his body to a certain sideline reporter and now has been accused of fraud in a Mississippi case and had to pay back a lot of money. Okay, let's go a little farther back. Darren Sharper came here from the Packers, ended up as a player and a guy in the locker room that we talked to, we all thought very highly of him. Turns out he was a date rapist. This is getting dark, man. This is getting really dark. And now we have Kirk Cousins, who's just your general anti-vaxxer. Of course, another guy they got from another NFC team. I guess my recommendation is build through the draft from now on.
Yeah, it seems to be that way. For some reason, the Vikings vetting process of getting these people seems to be limited.
Yeah, and we know that Rick Spielman has taken his chances in the draft with people who, might have had a smudge on their resume, maybe something more of a smudge. And it's been pretty hit and miss with that. And Vikings in history. Hey, Randy Moss fell to 21 because of his reputation. And of course, he was the right person to take there, even though he ended up being problematic down the road. They got, maybe the most talented receiver in the NFL for 6 years or so. At affordable rates, that was worth it. So they've missed on some others, but it's really stunning to me. These are all players they got from other NFC teams, and they have that record. And I apologize for having the kind of warped mind that would put all that together.
Only you, Jim. Only you.
Only me.
Moving on to the next topic, we got Lions are scary.
Yeah, I don't really trust the Vikings, and I don't trust the Lions, of course. The Lions are horrific. They're terrible. But they have played a lot of people close. We talked about this on the Jeff Diamond show this week. And they're playing at home. The Vikings are on their fourth road trip in like 5 weeks. They've already had three long coastal flights. This is an easy team to overlook. They're still beat up. The Vikings are very beat up right now. They barely beat the Lions the last time. I think this is a little bit of a scary game. If there is a reason to feel optimistic about the Vikings, is that I don't think the Lions can cover Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen. And Cousins tends to play well in Detroit, in his home state. I would think that he would light up the Lions. But if he doesn't, and it's close late, man, this could be the kind of game that ruins your season.
Yeah, aside from the embarrassment factor, it's that generic must-win game type of thing.
Yep, it's just, it tends to be tough on teams when they're tired, beat up. They have to win, and yet it's hard to get fired up about the opponent because the opponent obviously isn't very good.
Third up on the docket, we've got Wolves' tough stretch.
And I'm going to get to that late. Let me mention the business here a little bit. I want to thank a couple of our sponsors that I work with closely, Star Bank and Realtor Cara Quinn, both of whom are helping us get our new house. I want to thank Head Flyer Brewing, one of our new sponsors on the John Krasinski Show, Tin Cup Whiskey, which is sponsoring our appearances at Tuttle's and Hopkins. Also, Pizza Luce, which is sponsoring. And here, let me give you the live show lineup in case you want to come out and see us. The next John Krasinski Show at Tuttle's in Hopkins, Eat, Play, Bowl, December 27th, 7 p.m. Come on out. We had a bunch of people come out and ask live questions last night. That's the way we like to do our live shows, let you contribute to the shows and ask the questions you're interested in. Sooner than that, Chin Music with Lavelle Neal and Roy Smalley will be December 7th, 6 p.m. at the Pizza Luce in Eden Prairie. Again, live questions, great food and drink. Come out and see us. And December 14th, 7:30 at the Downtown Pizza Luce, the Cheryl Reeve Show and the Winter Wear Drive, Lori Ramsey's Winter Wear Drive. It's a great cause. We've raised a ton of money and collected a ton of apparel for people who are out in the cold during the winter. We always pack the joint for these kinds of shows. Please come out. I also recommend maybe calling ahead and reserving a table if you're sure you're going to be there. If not, we'll find room for you. Again, that's the Downtown Pizza Luce. Hey, thanks to everybody. We appreciate you helping us grow TalkNorth.com. We're going to be adding a couple big names we'll tell you about here soon. All right, Wolves Tough Stretch. I mentioned this during the Krasinski show. It does feel like Timberwolves luck, because the Timberwolves have been horrible for a long time. They've also been incredibly unlucky during the same stretch of time. And it feels a little unlucky that they have the best stretch of basketball they've played since like 2004. And guess what? Now everybody has the flu, and Karl-Anthony Towns hurts his back on a fall, and Patrick Beverley, who's maybe their key swing player on this roster, has an adductor strain, and he's been out. And now they're facing the toughest stretch of schedule they're going to face all year. So here's what I'm going to say. If the Timberwolves happen to play poorly and lose a lot of games in December, let's not panic. I think this is a good team. I think they're going to have a chance to prove they're a good team with a relatively healthy roster down the road. But people, this might be a tough stretch.
As fun as the team is to watch and as great as they are now, they are still the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Oh, let's not be cynical there, Brandon. It's okay. You can be cynical. The Timberwolves deserve cynicism because of the way that operated in the past. I do think that Finch and this group deserves the benefit of the doubt because of the way they played for the last month.
And like I said before, it's a fun team to watch. Next up, we have, are the Wild really good?
Yes, they are. And they are talented. They have depth. They have quality leadership. They have a great find in Hartman, a good signing in Zuccarello. Kaprizov has been hot, you know, as hot as you ever hope he would be lately. Fiala still hasn't quite gotten into the groove, but you can see it coming. He had some good chances on Thursday night. They're winning at a high rate. They're competing well against good teams. Nice showdown coming up with Toronto over the weekend. You might see that game before you listen to this. But everything's legitimate about this team. Now, does that mean they're going to make the playoff run? Who knows? We're way a long way away from making any predictions. But I will give credit to the team's leadership. Garen, for getting rid of Parisian Suter and trusting the young players and giving a lot of authority to Spurgeon and Foligno. Those are the right people to lead this team. Craig Leopold for being willing to eat big contracts to get the right vibe in this locker room, and Dan Iverson for really coaching this team well. This is a good, deep, fast, tough team. I think they're legitimate.
Last up on the 2-minute drill, we have Music City. Really?
So it's going to be easy for casual fans. Listen, Gopher diehards are Gopher diehards, and they're going to be partying over that Wisconsin win all year, and they're going to like whatever bowl the Gophers go to. It's really easy for the casual fan or those of us who aren't real high on PJ Flex rhetoric, even though you have to acknowledge he's a good coach. It's easy for us to say, if they end up going to the Music City Bowl, it's going to be really easy to say, oh, God, just the Music City Bowl again. I tell you what, bowl games, unless you're playing for like a top 10 ranking or some kind of a championship, bowl games are really about rewarding athletes who have put 4, 5, 6 years into the program, who get one last hurrah, and the Music City Bowl is just fine for that. Any bowl they go to will be just fine for that. I covered Music City Bowls. You know what? It's in Nashville. Nashville's a blast. It's relatively warm weather. I'm sure they'll play some kind of representative opponent. So this is a time where I will say, if you're a casual Gopher fan sneering at what the program is doing, don't in this case. Hey, that Wisconsin win was big for this program. They were having a bad month. They didn't have the right offensive coordinator. Tanner Morgan was going backward, and they were playing a very hot Wisconsin team that everybody expected to win. give them full credit for beating Wisconsin. Give them full credit for going to a bowl, whatever bowl that happens to be.
Here's the real question, Jim. How does it feel to compliment Coach Fleck?
Well, I've complimented him before on his coaching. It's the rhetoric that drives me crazy. It's the seeming need to always credit himself instead of his players. Listen, his resume is good. He deserved the shot to coach at Minnesota, and he has done well. And two of the last three seasons have been impressive. It was coming in and having to blame Clays and Kill for not having a good culture. And, you know, you didn't have to take shots at other people on your way in. You don't have to toot your own horn at every turn. You should give more credit to your players, and you should be more open when you make a mistake, like hiring Mike Sanford to be your offensive coordinator. It's the rhetoric that bothers me. The coaching is fine. I think he's a good coach. All right, hey, let's get to my friend Andrea Yock. Again, the best way to listen to our network, subscribe to your favorite podcast app. Of course, you can go to talknorth.com at any time. You will find all of our shows and the archives of those shows. So if you find a show you really like, you can go back and listen to previous episodes as well. If you'd like to advertise with this show or any shows on the network, you can reach Karen Cleary, our sales executive, at KCLEARY@talknorth.com. Thanks so much for listening, and here's my conversation with Andrea. As promised, this week's interviews with Andrea Yock. I've known Andrea for a long time. She is the president and co-founder of Minnesota Women's Soccer, which is in the process of attracting investors, going to hire a coach, going to come up with a name. All kinds of fun and exciting stuff is happening. Let's do this almost chronologically, Andrea. You've worked at a lot of high-end places around town. How did this particular job and passion come about?
So this started really during the pandemic when everybody was at home, you know, thinking about what life should look like after we, you know, got released from our houses. And there was a group of like-minded people who set up a meeting in a park 6 feet apart and talked about what would it look like to bring minor league women's soccer to the Twin Cities. And from that group, a small group of us were committed to exploring it. And since I had spent years in the sports marketing business, I was a part of the core team. And we started calling other leagues who had announced that they were starting women's leagues and interviewing them. And then it seems like it was next thing we know, it was a few months that we were being awarded a franchise from the USLW.
Wow. And what is the timetable here? What's the timetable for investors, for hiring a coach, for starting play?
So the team was announced along with the league in June. On August 31st, we opened up community shares, and that actually closes on Monday. So time is kind of past now for community investment pieces. We just finished interviewing coaches and hope to have an announcement here in the next probably 2 weeks. And we start play in May of 2022.
Cool. And do you have a place to play yet?
We are down to a few locations, but one of the things that I have learned being in the sports business is that the business people shouldn't necessarily be making the sporting decisions. So I really want the head coach on board before we finalize the venue so that it makes sense for soccer and for business.
Cool. And what's the vision here? I mean, it's always hard to start up a new sport, a new league. We can go back through sports history and look at places the NBA started playing and, you know, old NFL films. So once you get your feet on the ground and things are rolling, what does this look like and how popular do you think it can be?
So the big thing for us is we truly want it to be a welcoming venue and game for all sorts of families and people that haven't necessarily been able to enjoy the other sports in town, either for financial reasons or they culturally, like they just feel uncomfortable going into that space. So we believe we have a really great opportunity to provide something different that has a lot of community engagement, which we've already seen from our community ownership standpoint. We want to win, of course, and our story is really fun with how we got here, but eventually we actually also have to play soccer, and we would like to be the best team in the league. There are 30 teams that have been announced already for the inaugural season with a couple of more teams coming in, so the competition will be fierce, but at the end of the day, we want people to have such a good time in our games that the next time they come, they bring back a couple more people, and that they're walking around town wearing our gear, and they're just really proud to be a part of Minnesota women's soccer.
Obviously, United has done pretty well, especially, you know, not necessarily in competition, but in terms of popularity and in this marketplace, and they have a beautiful venue. Are they rivals? Are they partners? Is there any relationship there at all?
They're almost just like the Twins and the Saints and everything else. They are another, you know, sports team in town that we have to be aware of when we're trying to sell our tickets and everything else. But because we're minor league soccer, and of course, because we're women, we believe there's room for everybody. And just if you're a soccer fan, come to both, right? There may be nights where we play at the same time and you have to make a choice, but there will be plenty of nights where we're not playing at the same time. And hopefully you can come to both things, just like I hope you go to Saints games and I hope you go to Twins games. We forget how big the Twin Cities is. And you and I have seen incredible things over the last number of decades in the Twin Cities about what we can all support. And there's plenty of room for everybody.
No question about it. And one thing, you know, a big theme of the Cheryl Reeve show is that women's sports are great to watch. They're highly entertaining. And when they are covered and treated the way they should be covered and treated, they also are very popular and make a lot of money. It feels like this is the, you know, and listen, in a perfect world, it would have been the right time for women's sports to rise 20, 30, 50 years ago. In the real world, this does feel like the right time to be pushing forward here.
Yeah. And I have said in a few interviews, I give so much credit to those NCAA athletes ripped off the blinders last year, right? So we, you know, there were stories of abuse in sports. There were stories about inequality, but those women who showed the conditions at, you know, the Final Four and the weight rooms and everything else, I think really shook up the whole country and made everybody realize that, oh, this is not just a small handful, right, being discriminated against. This is the entire industry. And what we've seen is a complete groundswell around women having the opportunities to earn your money, right? To say, look, come watch us play. We promise we are going to deliver. And the Lynx are the same way. When you watch a women's soccer game, if you've watched any of the U.S. women's national team, those women are badasses. They get poked in the eye and kicked and gouged, and they just keep playing. And one of the shots against men's soccer, right, is the flopping. Mm-hmm. You don't see that on the women's side because they are so aware of the fact that their game and all of how we perceive is resting on their shoulders, especially the U.S. women's national team. Like, they're literally carrying soccer for women across the whole country. And so the way they play, the way they approach everything, and how seriously they take their jobs is so different. And I think that's what people will find when they watch women's sports. And I know, like, Lynx games, when you go to Lynx games, like, you watch them go down so hard on that basketball court, and it makes me cringe thinking, oh my God, like, they've banged their head, they've hit their shoulder, everything's broken, and then they just pop back up and keep going to play. And that's where I think the more people watch women's sports, they will realize how tough these athletes really are and how good they are at what they're doing.
No question about it. I started Talk North a number of years ago, met Brandon in a coffee shop, had Russo on board, bought about $200 worth of equipment, started trying to figure stuff out, made a lot of mistakes along the way. And for me, that was all kind of scary and risky, even though it wasn't that big a risk. It felt scary and risky. I have to imagine starting a new franchise in a relatively new league in an underappreciated corner of the sports world. That has to feel really risky and hard, or does it? You tell me.
The idea of starting something and, you know, working hard on it is not foreign to me. I've done that a lot over my career, but this is the first time that we've ever said, hey, people, give us your money, right? That to me is the responsibility that I hold the heaviest. Is we asked people to invest in this team, and so many people did, and not rich people. people who had to wait until payday in order to buy their $100 worth of shares, people who don't have, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars to just toss around and risk. So it's one thing when I've made my own decision to invest in risk or go out on my own and start my own company. But now we are responsible for thousands of people's dollars. And that to me is the part that I take most seriously and is completely unlike everything I've ever done, because now we want to deliver so badly for these people that trust in us. And it's what's driving us every single day to make our decisions.
So, you know, you and I, we bump into each other, we kind of run in the same circles, we see each other periodically, but you know, we haven't talked at length in a while now. How's life? What's going on other than soccer?
Life is good. I think when you and I met, I was telling Brandon, I wasn't even married, I think, at the time. So it's been, yeah, we've all raised our kids.
Mid-90s?
Because I was working at KFAN, yep. And I got to go to spring training for 2 weeks to babysit Dave Hoffman and Chad Hartman. And oof, that was,
I hope you got paid a lot of money to do that.
Yeah. I got 2 weeks in Florida, but you were always kind enough to include me for dinner. I can't remember what that restaurant was we used to go to with Rob Anthony, but I was so young. I was the only female down there. And I will just always remember how kind you were to make sure I wasn't left out. I think I was 24 probably at the time. Fast forward, I've got two grown adult children, two sons who are also investors in the team. They bought their own shares so that they could vote on the team name separately without having to, ride under my vote. And so, one's a senior out of Boston College and graduates in May. And my other one has been a digital nomad for the last 18 months, working remotely all over the United States and also different parts of the world, but they're doing great, and they pop up in Minnesota every few months.
You've done a lot. You've worked a lot of places. You run your own business. What's been to date before soccer? What has been the most rewarding employment you've had?
I had a great run at Care 11, mm-hmm. which I loved. I was there for almost 10 years, and we did a tremendous amount of great things in the community, which I'll always be really proud of. The power of the media in the Twin Cities is not appreciated as much as it should, and that their social conscience is so strong. Like, all the stations work hard to give back. I love that. But honestly, for me, since I left Minnesota United and went out on my own, I've worked on some amazing things, but I have to say that helping open US Bank Stadium and selling that out was incredible. It started with some networking. Steve LaCroix, who had been at the Vikings at the time, I was starting off on my own, and I just called Steve and I was like, hey, like, if you need any help with this match that's coming to US Bank Stadium, let me know. And I was just thinking they would need game day help, right? I'd hang out with you up in the press box and make sure everybody was happy. And he ended up calling me in for a meeting and just saying, hey, ticket sales are struggling. We need some marketing help. Can you come on board? And so I worked closely with the Vikings and the brand new people at US Bank Stadium who were still trying to figure out where the bathrooms were. And we got to open that building. And that is something, we hold the state record for the most people to ever watch soccer. And that's unlikely to be broken in my lifetime. That to me was the most rewarding because so many people helped us get there and helped us sell out the building. Pretty much anyone I had ever worked with in my entire career stepped up to help in some way. And I will always be proud of that.
That's so cool. You've always done great work. You've also always aligned yourself with great causes. I really appreciate it. I owe you a drink. We got to get together soon. I also want to write a column. I think our business side is writing about you this week, but I want to do a column with you sometime in the next couple of weeks. So I'll be in touch about that. Any final thoughts, Andrea?
No, I just want to thank everybody for their support, including Cheryl Reeve. She was one of the first people to hold up a scarf and welcome us to town and the links. And so we look forward to continuing to work with her. Rebecca Brunson hosted our launch event. And again, another just amazing businesswoman and athlete. And so having those people on our side has meant a tremendous amount. But otherwise, we just ask people to keep following. This journey is just going to continue to get more exciting, and hopefully come out to our games in the spring, wear our merchandise, or follow us on social, whatever you want to do. But we just ask people to give us a chance.
Excellent. Well, best of luck with it. And I hope to, in my own little way, help nudging all this forward, because I think this is a great idea. And I think it's going to, not just a great idea, I think it's going to be executed well, which is the key, right? So thanks to Andrea. Thanks to everybody listening to TalkNorth.com. Thanks as always to our producer, Brandon Morton. And we'll have Andrea back to talk about updates and more fun developments with her team.
Thank you so much, Jim.